Joined now on the air by Mark Dorison, who is the chair of the Orange County Board of Commissioners, who has come in out of the rain and is drying off even as we speak. How are you?
Oh, I couldn't be any better. How are you doing, Aaron?
I'm doing okay. We're all still talking. Everyone who's walking in today is just, it's a dreary, rainy day, and we're still only 48 hours removed from the basketball game that wrapped up at 11:30 and all of that excitement. So everyone's just dragging today. I don't know about you, but I'm barely holding on right now.
It's been, there was the game on Monday, which was late
yes.
and thrilling. And then last night's county commissioners meeting extended into
which
the
was late
wee
and
small
thrilling.
Hours of the
yeah.
morning. And so, and it was so beautiful earlier today.
Yeah,
I actually
wasn't it?
Left my windows down, and so I have a...
Oops.
Yeah.
We've all been there. Okay, so let's actually start by talking about a bill that's being discussed today in the General Assembly. The State House, I think State and Local Government Committee had the meeting today, and now these bills move on to the House Finance Committee before proceeding on to the full House if they get that far. This is the bill to eliminate impact fees or to ban local governments from imposing impact fees. You've got one bill, both of them introduced by Sarah Stevens, a Republican from Mount Airy, who one bill would specifically impact Orange County. The others would just, it's basically the same bill statewide, right? Or are there differences between the two?
No, it's the statewide bill is broader because mm-hmm. it encompasses a broader range of fees. So the Orange County specific bill, which was the one introduced first, specifically referred to the authorization that we have to levy impact fees for school construction. The statewide bill includes a range of other fees that municipalities and counties have and includes things like stormwater management fees, erosion control, sort of a host of development-related fees that put the burden on the developers to bear the costs of the actual impacts of the development.
Right. So what would the impact be for Orange County if this passes?
Well, it would mean that all of the money that we now collect through impact fees, which are dedicated for school construction and which are calculated based on the anticipated student generation of new construction, all that money would have to be raised through property taxes, really the only other revenue source we have. So, under the current model, the costs imposed broadly on the community by new development are borne by those developers. Mm-hmm. If that impact fee is taken away, it's a big windfall for developers who get to, privatize their profits and make the community subsidize the costs of the impacts. So,
okay. So the Colin Campbell from the News and Observer has a story up on the News and Observer's website. Sarah Stevens was talking in the committee today and said that there was one apartment building going up in Chapel Hill where the developer, and I'm quoting now from the story, developer is facing fees of up to $1.6 million to fund school construction. And that's for student housing, for like off campus, obviously, but student what's the student designed housing just off campus for UNC students? Presumably not many people would be attending Chapel Hill Carver or Orange County Schools from that. So what is the formula for determining how to impose the impact fee?
So we just actually talked about this at our meeting last night. In fact, that developer came to us in February and asked us to review the application. We did establish when we adjusted the impact fees in December, we did establish a grandfathering process for projects that were already in the pipeline. This developer came to us in February and said, I'd like to be considered for grandfathering. And we referred that to staff. This was before the bill came up. And we actually considered that last night, and we voted to modify our grandfathering rules, which potentially this developer and other developers who would meet these more relaxed grandfathering rules will be able to take advantage of. We also specifically told the developer and instructed the county attorney to look at a modified fee structure for projects that are specifically designated for college student housing. And we have a provision like that already for housing that is dedicated for seniors. Mm-hmm. So what it requires, though, is the developer to make some kind of long-term commitment that, yes, this housing is going to be designated in this category going forward.
And that's kind of a new development, right? The idea of housing that's specifically geared to students. I know there's a couple developments downtown Chapel Hill, but they're all fairly new, like the Bicycle and what's the one on Rosemary Street called? I'm blanking on the name. The one with the big paintbrush on the side of it.
It's called like Shortbread.
Shortbread, thank you. Yeah, all I could think of was Brightleaf. It's like that's a completely different development in a different city.
Well, I think projects have typically been marketed to students. Certainly when you have 4-bedroom, 4-bath apartments, that's clearly a targeting. But certainly that niche is being focused on more explicitly.
Mm-hmm. Speaking with Mark Dorison, again, chair of the Orange County Board of Commissioners. So what is, and I assume that you're following this fairly closely because this would have a pretty big impact on Orange County. What are the prospects for this passing?
I think they're high. I think, you know, this again is another example of the legislature trying to reach out and rein in local governments and to, you know, to really take away their discretion while continuing to push additional costs and funding burdens and funding mandates onto them. I was happy to see, though, this week that they got their hands slapped by the courts in Greensboro in the Greensboro redistricting case, where the legislature unilaterally decided to redistrict municipal elections in Greensboro to try to create an electoral system that would be more favorable to Republicans. And the judge in the middle district said that was not appropriate.
In a way, like, and for several reasons, it's racial gerrymandering. You've got multiple districts that each have one representative, but the populations are significantly different. Did anyone think that was going to fly?
Well, I don't know how many legislators voted for the bill, but clearly somebody did.
They thought that was going to fly.
That's right.
Yeah.
And what's interesting also about it, you're right, that decision had a host of reasons, but it really was compelling that the judge said, you know, there's no, not even a rational basis. You can't even make even the lowest level of judicial scrutiny, this does not pass.
So. Yeah. And that's a technical term, but for people who don't know, for the judge to say all we need to do is hold it up to a rational basis standard, you just have to come up with a reason. And you would think that a bill wouldn't pass a legislature unless there was a reason behind it, but in this case, apparently not.
I think what we're seeing, particularly on these electoral cases, are courts willing to, you know, look more closely at what were the actual motivations for the legislation.
Yeah. Speaking with Orange County Commissioner Mark Dorison, so let's turn to the board's meeting last night, which again was a long meeting that dealt with a lot of different issues. And I'm just pulling up the recap, which goes on for a while. You've got the support for immigrants and refugees. You've got light rail. You've got health insurance. You've got the impact fees, which was already talked about. Let's talk about light rail first. Where do things stand as far as that goes?
So last night we got a report back from the consultants, the independent consultants that the county had hired to review all of the financial numbers and models that Go Triangle had provided. The Davenport Group, they gave a very comprehensive report, which took most of the meeting. We heard a lot from members of the public as well. And there are a number of questions that the commissioners still have. I think the biggest takeaway from the report is that, while it looks like the numbers all work, it's very tight. And so there are a lot of questions that commissioners had about what does that mean and, you know, what are the options to adjust for that.
Yeah. What was the answer to that question?
Well, we don't have that yet. I mean, certainly, one option is cutting costs. Mm-hmm. Can the project be less expensive? One option is talking about, are there opportunities for sharing revenue with Durham for this sales tax revenue? Another is continuing to explore adjusting the formula, the percentage split mm-hmm. between the two counties. So I think all of that is on the table as we go forward.
A lot of this is to address, obviously, traffic congestion. And you think about the 15501 corridor. And I know there are people who are driving on 15501 right now listening to this and just pull up the the Google map with the traffic, and there's all this red on the map even now. If Orange and Durham's population continues to grow, the Triangle's a desirable area, population of the Triangle is going to double in the next couple of decades. That congestion is only going to get worse, which is why we're talking about light rail in the first place. I know there's a lot of really strong arguments to be made against light rail. They're convincing arguments. Commissioners are having difficulties with this. But if it comes to the point where we say, okay, it's too much, we can't do this, we can't make it work, and light rail goes off the table, what are the plan Bs for addressing congestion on 15501?
And you know, that's a great question, and I don't think that those have been explored fully. A lot of people say, well, you could have bus rapid transit or, increased bus service, expanded bus service, which would certainly help. But again, you're still putting, motor vehicles on the roadway. I mean, there's, what we've seen in years past from traditional, road enhancement projects. You add another lane to I-40. It's, by the time it's done, it still doesn't meet the capacity. And so I think those are really critical questions. And, I think that's right now everything is focused on getting all the information we can to make the right decision on light rail. But I think the idea that you can just simply say, well, we'll just stop this and we'll turn to bus rapid transit, as if you could go, you can stop where we are today and pick up at that point with a new project is just not realistic.
Yeah, and in the meantime, population continues to increase, traffic continues to increase.
That's right.
So, yeah, it's a difficult issue. Mark Dorison, we got to let you go in a second, but there's the other big item on the agenda from last night, which was support for immigrants and refugees. What is the Orange County doing to support? And one of the numbers that just sort of reading about this issue recently, 13% of the county is immigrant and refugee, and that's a pretty significant population in Orange County. So this issue that is a national issue that so many people are talking about, that's gotten such heated debate, this affects us to a really, really significant degree. So what is the county doing?
Well, you're absolutely right, Aaron. And so, given the changing mood in the country, there's this growing anti-immigrant sentiment in lots of places. And the fear that brings to the immigrant community, and the frustration, and the county, like a lot of local governments in North Carolina and all around the country, have been looking at ways to support the new challenges that immigrant communities are facing. And those include not just stepped up enforcement, say, from the federal government, but also increased harassment, yep, discrimination, violence. So we were looking at a number of things that we could do. And what we'd heard from several of the nonprofit organizations in Orange County that work with immigrant and refugee families is that they had seen a significant increase in the requests for services that they were getting. And so approached the county and said, we're facing these significant challenges. The county had already expressed an interest in wanting to help. We had reached out to these groups. How can the county do something? And so what we came up with, and what they had come up with, was some additional funds to support the work they're doing so that they can meet the growing demand. And so we have a social justice fund in the county, which we've set up. That's a $350,000 fund, which is specifically designed to address unanticipated challenges regarding issues related to civil rights and social justice in our community. We've used it in the past to address housing issues, to address additional subsidies for low-wealth families needing childcare. And so this request was to move some money, about $78,000 or $9,000, to provide some additional support to these groups that we already support in various ways and through our nonprofit organization funding. So the commission supported that, which I was very, very gratified to see. There were some folks who came and spoke very vehemently against it. And so some of the stuff that you were seeing nationally, some of the opposition, we saw last night in Orange County. And I have to say, candidly, I found it very disheartening to hear the criticism and the attacks and the inaccuracies and misrepresentations about folks who live in this community, who are making an invaluable contribution to it, and who really reflect the best of Orange County and our values of inclusion and equality.
OrangeCountyNC.gov for more information about county activity, county commissioners meetings. There's another one coming up tomorrow, right?
Yes, tomorrow night we have a work session on the capital improvements plan, which, you know, is a five-year plan, yep. And we'll be getting a detailed assessment of what's in year one and what is in years further out.
Well, as always, I want to keep talking to you for another 30 minutes, but we got to let you go. Mark Dorison, thank you so much.
You're welcome. It's always great to see you, Aaron.